Today's scripture is taken from Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 7 and 15 and 16, the sign of the covenant. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you." God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her." Here ends today's lesson.
God, we ask that you would give us a word that we need to hear today, this snowy day. I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever wondered why God even bothered to change Sarah's and Abraham's names? I mean, the changes were ever so slight from the originals, Abram and Sarai. What's the big deal? But by the same token, can you imagine what it would be like at 90 and 99 years old to have to get used to new names? I mean, when I brought a cat, a four-year-old cat home from an animal shelter, and I was afraid to change her name because she might not come to a new name. But anyway. But clearly, this was a very meaningful moment in God's relationship with this couple, and God wanted to mark it in a meaningful way. It's kind of endearing if you think about it. But obviously, it was way more than that. God doesn't take names lightly. When God renamed Jacob Israel, it was a very big deal, not just for him, but for the entire Hebrew people, generations to come. When Saul became Paul, it was a huge deal for him as an individual, but also for the history of Christianity. And so, Sarah went from a name that had no particular significance to one that meant princess. And Abraham evolved from exalted father into father of many nations. What a difference a few letters make. They entered an entirely new chapter in their lives as foremother and father-to-be of an eternal covenant with God, new identities that would require new responsibilities and standards of behavior. No more cowardly lying to Pharaoh about marital status or nonchalantly surrendering Sarai to Pharaoh's bed to save Abram's skin. No more second-guessing God's promises by getting Sarai's maid pregnant when Sarai didn't conceive fast enough for their tastes. No more cruel treatment of their maid Hagar or her son by Abram Ishmael. Now, after years of unfulfilled pregnancy prophecies, it really, really was time to settle in with a copy of What to Expect When You're Expecting and live into the covenant and all its promises. The irony, of course, is that at Abraham's and Sarah's advanced ages, they were probably well beyond such questionable behaviors anyway. Yet given that there is no hard and fast correlation between chronological age and emotional maturity, perhaps this couple had only just come of age after so many years of wandering. Speaking of coming of age, maybe some of you can relate to Abraham's and Sarah's renaming experience. Surely many of us came to a day when we no longer thought it was okay to be called Tommy or Pammy or Pumpkin by our families. When those youthful nicknames began to feel too constricting and even embarrassing, like outgrown little kids' clothes and toys. As silly as it might have struck our families at the time, proclaiming one's self Tom or Thomas, Pam or Pamela was a large, empowering step on the road to independence. For me, that day came in high school when I began to ask people to refrain from referring to me by my given name, Carol Ann, and just call me what I preferred, Carol. For a friend of mine, it was legally changing each and every part of her name, first, middle, and last, at 18 to get a fresh start, symbolically releasing a wounded inner child who had been subject to merciless teasing and name-calling throughout her years in school. Marrying and changing or hyphenating last names, divorcing and reclaiming last names, or even just skipping over the Miss box and checking off Ms. instead, each of these renaming actions is a ritual and a milestone in its own right, publicly proclaiming as they do whom we are becoming and whom we no longer choose to be. And yet, there's a huge difference between a name choice we make for ourselves or that is chosen by our parents from a baby name book, and a name that is bestowed upon us by God, God's self. Can you imagine God taking in your essence, the overarching theme and purpose of your life, and weaving them together into a name unique to you? A name which is utterly perfect and resonant to you. A name that captures you right where you are, as well as where you are challenged to go in order to be your best self and do whatever it is you have been born and called to do upon this earth. In some ways, it would make it a lot easier to have that information handed to us right up front. But presumably there would be some pressure too, and perhaps some shame upon realizing that we're not quite living up to that ideal. Certainly, we know that name changes, even those ordained by God, didn't turn Sarah or Abraham, Jacob or Paul into perfect people. They continue to be flawed, yes, but changed nonetheless. And ultimately, that was what God called them to do, change. Not just a superficial name change, but a deep down core transition from aimless or even destructive wandering to purposeful living, which advanced God's plan. No longer were they mere Jane or John Doe's, no, they were active participants in a project far, far bigger than themselves. This is also not to say that renaming brought unconditional ease into their transformed lives. Among other things, for Abraham and his male descendants, going forward there would be circumcision, the painful requirement upon this covenant, which this covenant was based. For Jacob, there would be tensions with pretty much his entire family, his wives, his father-in-law, his brother. For Paul, there would be imprisonment and eventually martyrdom. Even for my friend, renaming didn't necessarily yield a miraculous escape from her painful past, but there was a certain amount of distancing which made it possible for her to live and to purposely move forward into adulthood. To what extent do our names define us? Were my parents thinking they would mold me into a song of joy favored by God when they named me Carol Ann? I don't know for sure, but I kind of think it was more random than that, and I know my name is not a family heirloom. And of course, fashion always comes into play in the naming equation. I don't know about you, but I went to school with a ton of Carols and Marys, Johns, and Bills. Not one of those names is on the top 10 baby list for 2011. Apparently now we have a lot of Sophias, Emmas, Aidens, and Jacksons. And after last year's royal wedding, I imagine we'll be seeing a whole lot of baby Kates in the near future. Abraham, on the other hand, he isn't even in the top 100 names, but you can still find Sarah at number 28. As we're examining and getting right with ourselves and God during Lent, I would invite us to ponder just what resides at our cores and just what and whom God is calling us to do and to be in the grand redemptive scheme of things. If we were to scrub away the residue of our brokenness and our sin that has accumulated over the past year around our hearts and our souls, what sort of gem would be revealed? What would it ask of us? How would we live into its unique beauty? How would we harness that beauty for higher purpose? Can we get some clues about its substance from the names given to us by our parents? Or might we like to discern with God a new spiritual name that better expresses who and why we are? As our ancestors Abraham and Sarah can attest, we are never too old to be renamed or repurposed. If you are game, I would suggest starting this exercise with your given names. We may even begin to recognize patterns in our lives that reinforce those names and the lessons they can teach us about being our best selves. As I prepared this homily, I realized for the first time that my college nickname, Smiley, bore a somewhat striking resemblance to a carol or a song of joy. This is not to say that I'm always smiling or singing or joyful, but that on my best days I am, was, and am. And that perhaps this is the inner gem God continually calls me to dust off and allow to radiate for God's redemptive purposes. What's in your name? And what happens when we bring all our individual names, our best selves, and our higher purposes together under one roof? Just what vision might God covenant through us? Amen.